1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Apostle Paul speaking here, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Father, we do pray that you'd help us as we read from your word tonight. Father, learn from it. And as we continue on through this passage, Lord, we just pray that you'd show us what you'd have for us. Thank you for a great morning. And I ask that you bless tonight. You'd help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You read through this first part of Romans 9 and you see Paul's thoughts. It's very, very strong. His conscience, and say, what is it? This is love for his countrymen there without Christ. And he says, you know, I could wish myself accursed from Christ to be the enemy of God, that the people that I love the most could be saved by the Lord. You know, and you think, wow, I wish I could love people like that, or I wish, again, you don't want to be God's enemy, so the thought doesn't really, let's say, but to care that much for people, right? He wants to see people. He knows himself, right? So he everybody that he sees as a Jew, he thinks of himself, how far away he was from the Lord, even though he was like right there, you know. I mean, that's the thing. You're like, you know the Bible, you know what the Word says, you know, but you're not trusting Christ. You're not worshiping God according to Scripture. You're not. I mean, it's just different. I mean, it was totally different. And God opened his eyes. God changed him, made him different. And so he wants to see that for his people, for his countrymen. The Bible says in verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, okay, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Just because you're born a Jew doesn't mean you come out a Christian or a lover of God. And that's what he's saying. He said, not everybody. And then on the flip side, we're not Jews because we've trusted Christ either. I mean, you meet some pretty interesting people, right? These Messianic Jew people and all this stuff. It's like, well, I believe this, so therefore I'm a Jew. And I'm like, yeah, you're pretty white to me. You're like pretty American to me. It's like, well, it's all about what you believe. Okay, whatever. All right, verse 9. This is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Wednesday night we talked about that a little bit. Jesus Christ coming from Edom. The Bible talks about that in the second advent, when he comes in his vestures, dipped in blood, it's been sprinkled with blood, he came from Edom. Those that were serving themselves. Right, that's the picture with Esau. That's the picture there. So, in these first verses here, Paul, he wants to see these people come to Christ. He wants to see them trust the Lord. It's not your heritage. I mean, they told Jesus, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, don't be impressed with your heritage. God could raise these stones up to be heritage if he wanted to. He wants you to choose Christ, not to choose what family you've been born into. That's why it's so important. It's all of our young people. I mean, you hear testimonies of people as they get older, say, well, you know, I just thought I was good because my family was good, and I thought that, you know, it all comes down to us as individuals. You have to make that choice individually to trust Christ. It's not because grandpa did or grandma did or mom did or whatever. You have to make that choice for yourself. Strip all those people away. Strip all those people away. Put you there. What do you got? You say, well, I got nothing. Okay. All right. You need to make that choice to trust Christ. They said they've made their choices. And share your testimonies with your families, right? I mean, share them so they know. It's like, okay, well, when grandpa was this age or whatever, that he made a decision. Or when dad was this age, he made a choice. He made a choice. And I need to make a choice. It's not because of the house that I grew up in. Now, he's going to now go into a teaching that
saying, look, God has control. God can make you what He wants you to be. You have to let Him. You have to let Him.
Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
And it's strong language, right? So Esau have I hated. He didn't make Esau. He said, God, you know what? I need somebody to hate. I'm going to make me somebody named Esau. He's going to be some hairy rascal. I'm just going to hate him just because. Got to have evil with good. Got to have negative with positive. Got to have the yin-yang junk and all this stuff. Black and white, all this stuff. And people are like that. They believe that stuff. I'm like, no. No. Absolutely not. Esau had a choice. We talked about the other night. He come in hungry. Okay. When you come in hungry, don't make big decisions. I mean, that's just the moral of that story, right? I'm really hungry. He's like, all right, you know, hide the checkbook, hide all the credit cards. You know, don't do. You know, hungry men are the worst shoppers, right? You know, hungry men go in the. You know, price don't matter, calories don't matter, substance doesn't matter. We're just talking about volume. Just like I'm hungry, I'm just gonna butt. You know, for his belly, man. He gave up what God would have for him. And God, I mean, you imagine God say, you turned it down for that. And that's why that language is in there. He didn't hate Esau from the womb and hate. It's not like that. He knew, I mean, he knows the decision he's going to make because he's God. But the Bible says there's no unrighteousness with God. It's not God's fault. That Esau made the decision that he made. And he's going to go into Egypt and he's going to talk about Pharaoh here as well. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Right? Because the scripture says it hardened Pharaoh's heart. Right? They say, well, God did it. Like, Pharaoh couldn't make a choice. He always had a choice. He always had a choice. He had a choice to choose. The Bible says because of his pride, he wouldn't let the people go. I mean, you think about it, right? Here you got all your civil works getting done, and you send away all your labor, and then you look at all your buddies and be like, yeah, it was going good. Yeah, until you blew it and let them all go. Let's get us another Pharaoh in here, you know? It's like, what do you say? I'm not going to let them go. I said, I don't know this God you're talking about. Because remember, the Bible says that another Pharaoh came up, and that's how Exodus starts. They didn't know who, didn't know Joseph anymore, right? Because Joseph, I mean, there was a good Pharaoh in there while Joseph was there. But Joseph, aren't going to live forever. He passes off the scene. The next people come up, right? That's why you never want to get, you know, so wrapped up into, like, well, if we could just eliminate, get rid of these people. There's always somebody next in line that's got their own ideas that are diabolical and bad and whatever. It's just everybody. It's like, well, if I could just, you can't eliminate evil people. It can't be eliminated. It's going to be here until we die. It'll be here when you're gone. It'll be here when I'm gone. The evil will be here until Satan is eliminated. But verse, he's telling Moses. He said, I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You got to do the running. God shows the mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Oh, he just needed a neck to break, right? He just needed somebody to destroy, somebody that would stand up against him. Think about if Pharaoh would have turned. So imagine God turning the most powerful nation in the world over to Him. I mean, think about that happening, right? Like a Nineveh, but having it be the world power, the Roman Empire, all that stuff. It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing. I mean, because you know if they're the world power, that Satan's got a foothold in there. I mean, he's got a foothold here. That's why we are the way we are. That's why we think the way we think. That's why we do things we do. As a nation, I'm saying, as a nation. That's why we do some of those things, because he's got us. God could have got glory if all that would have happened. He didn't have to have destruction to get glory. It doesn't work like that. He didn't have to do that. Somebody wouldn't change. Somebody would not listen. I mean, remember, it wasn't Moses saying, let my people go. They weren't Moses' people. I mean, he was a Jew, right? But they're not his people. He's a messenger for God. He said, God's saying this. He said, I'm not going to do it. So the plagues were against the indecision. It was against somebody going against God. And I said, okay, all right, we'll see who's got the power. It's going to be a display. Everybody knows. I mean, those plagues, that time in Egypt is spoken of as much as any Old Testament passage in the New Testament scriptures as a reference back to God's power. It's always in there. It's always in there. Can't forget it. You can't forget it. You have to go back and look and see what God has done. It's a reminder to the people here. It should be. The Bible says in verse number 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me,
Why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? You got to go with God. Don't go against him and say, but I'd rather do it this way. Not going to work. I'd rather just the people stay. I mean, Pharaoh started out as the diplomat, right? I want to go and worship. Not that big of a deal. We worship, you know. But hey, look, we also have a job to do. Don't forget, most important thing, job to do. And you doing the job. So, yeah, you want to go worship? Great. Just over here where we can keep an eye on you, you know. And God said, we want this. And then there's the compromising, not rebuttal, but the counter offer, so to speak, right? And Christians can be like that, right? God says, I want all of you. Well, I'll go this far, right? It's the same thing, this far. What a deal, and all the compromisers, right? Take it, Moses, take it. What a deal. At least we can go a few days' journey and we don't have to. God said, let them go. He doesn't want, when we talk about separation, I mean, that's it, right? It's just unto God, separated from that unto God. If Egypt represents the world system in Old Testament scripture, what does Pharaoh represent? He represents the devil. I mean, it doesn't get said enough, but he does. I mean, his ideas are right akin. Now, he's not the devil, and he wasn't then, but he was used of the devil to keep God's people from doing what they're supposed to be doing. They replied against God. Shall the thing formed, okay, the thing formed. I love this passage. I had the privilege of getting to teach in the Institute, and I teach Romans every so often. I just love this passage in chapter 9. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Right? Brother Tom wakes up tomorrow, and he's making sawdust, and, you know, that piece of wood starts speaking to him. Ah, excuse me, nightstand, you know. Nightstand! Now, I don't want to be a coffee table. I don't want to be. It's like, nightstand. Like, no, pal, get in that pointer and close your mouth. And just, I mean, just, no. And God's the one that works, right? So in this picture and what we have, we're not potters anymore. I mean, we just don't. Like, we're ordering this, that, and whatever. We need it to stand up to a microwave. We need it to stand up to a dishwasher. We need it to stand up to children, you know, praise God. I mean, casserole dishes for potlucks, all that good stuff, right? So we're not potters anymore. It's like, I was cutting up this pig the other day, and I was telling my wife about, you know, like salt. Like, has anybody ever seen prosciutto or ever had it or whatever? It's phenomenal. You don't go home tonight and say, well, I'm going to make something. I'm going to have it tomorrow. No, it takes a long time. That's like a day to 2 to 3 days per pound for that ham sits buried in the salt bed. Then it gets smoked. Then it gets. Sometimes guys are really good at it. You don't get to actually have some for like almost a year. That's amazing. It's a process. So what's a man? That salt does all the work. And they used to get paid in that stuff. Here's your salt. The old sayings: are you worth your salt? And all these things is because it was. Oh, we don't touch that anymore now. I was like, oh, my salt, no big deal. Back then, you had to have it because you didn't have a fridge. You didn't have a freezer. Everything had to be smoked and cured. Everything. And now we've had the appliance life. And we couldn't save our lives. Like, my freezer went out, right? We all hear the horror stories, or maybe that's happened to you. My freezer died. We're all trying to figure out how to turn, you know, however many pounds of goodness into before it turns to nothing and just becomes the worst stench of all. But we're away from that stuff, so we don't see it. And here we're away from the clay, so we don't really think about the potter. But try to put yourself in a potter's house, okay? Today, right? Tonight, for the next 15 minutes, right? You go into I'm talking about a studio per se, but I'm just saying a guy making pots for people, right? They're going to get used, right? They're not to be stared at as art. Not that kind of pottery. I'm talking this guy's making. The Pyrex guy of his day, you know, he's kicking them out. He needs them to be this size because most families are this size and they get, you know, they're going to have them. This is the most common size that's purchased and he's working on that thing and he gets this chunk of mud and he's building it, and maybe he sources his own clay. Maybe he goes clear to the riverbank and he gets all the sand out of it and he filters it and he comes up with this pure clay and he starts working that thing. Maybe he orders it and gets it in, however he gets it, right? He's dirty. He's working with clay. He's dirty. He's shaping it. Got to have water too. Have to keep it soft. Once it gets hard, then it's hard to work with. It's hard to shape. Hard hearts are hard to work with. Hard hearts are hard to work with. You talk to somebody and they just, you see it, countenance, whether it's bowing up. Don't do that. The Bible says, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, right? Because here comes God to Pharaoh and he says, let them go, man. And we talked about this morning, your relationship with people. That relationship, the Jews to Pharaoh says, they're my people for labor. You know, that's my relationship with them. Lord, we got to get the work done. Are you taking them away? You're taking away my labor. You're taking away all the people who are going to do this work for me. He didn't think about them as God's people. He thought about them a different way. Potter's working. He's working. Now, as a lump of clay, Israel went to Egypt because they needed to go there. God told him, he said, I'm going to put them there. And it's been seen throughout history that God's going to do it to his people. He's trying to shape them. He's trying to do something with them. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? We're going to jump back to Jeremiah real quick tonight, and then we'll come right back. So if you want to hold your finger there, that'd be great. We won't be long with Jeremiah. We're just looking at a very similar passage here. As we've read in Isaiah on Wednesday nights, and the prophet, not lately, but in the past Wednesday nights, has done some pretty incredible things. I don't know if you remember the marred linen, where he took the linen girdle and he took it down to the riverbank, shoved it in the hole in the riverbank, and then went back to it after so many months, and it was dirty and it had holes in it, and then he wore it. He said, "This is you, right? This is you. This is a picture of you." He went without clothes for 3 years. He said, "This is you. You're without God. You're naked. You got nothing." I mean, he was humiliated for that much time, but it was a picture. It was representation. Here in Jeremiah 18, the first five, six verses we're going to read here. Jeremiah 18. God uses his word in the New Testament. He'll pull, these men of God that were used to write, they reference the old, because the Holy Spirit is working in them. It's one of the promises of the Holy Spirit of God. He'll help you remember things. That's one of the things. He'll help you to remember the Scriptures. It's a promise there in the 8th chapter of Romans. He will. This is part of what he's referencing here in chapter 9 of Romans. The word which came to Jeremiah, verse 1, from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house. Okay? And so, in old times, that last name would be what? It'd be Potter. Okay? So like Potter's Marsh down here, when we're heading out of town, you go to Potter's Marsh, right? You go ahead, trace old man Potter's family. You know, you figure, they came back from Europe, back in the old country, and they came back here. What were they? Potters. What were the shoemakers? I played with a guy in college, James Shoemaker, right? Shoemaker. Well, it's not too hard. That one's pretty easy, right? Garner means wheat. That's what it means. It's another name for a grain bin. It's just where you put grain. This is what it is. Now, I'm not a farmer, but hey, back in the old country, who knows, right? So they went down to the potter's house, and you'd find there what you'd expect. That's what he did. That's what he did. That's what his son would most likely learn how to do, is work in the house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. I went down to the potter's house because he wanted to hear God's words, right? God's going to speak to him. He says, get out of the potter's house. I'm going to speak to you there. He gets down there, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Right? Y'all seen a potter's wheel, right? Flat. That clay just sits on that thing. Now, this would probably be like a foot treadle design if you've seen the old, Singer sewing machines. Where he's got the foot treadle, man. Don't plug in the wall. You just sit there. You do the toe tap, right? And the treadle goes up and down, up and down, makes the wheel spin. Well, here you'd have a treadle design, and the table would spin like this. Because you got to shape this thing. And how awkward would it be to give it a spin and shape it and give it a spin, right? So you're sitting there,
And that's the wheel it's talking about. That's the wheel. It's what the work is sitting on.
The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter.
Right? He's not God. He's just working on that thing. But it's a picture, right? He's shaping it to be whatever it's supposed to be. Right? Megan, you were working with clay for a while, right? It's hard work. You spend all that time, and you have a bad 30 seconds, and you push too hard, and all of a sudden it's doing this on the wheel, right? It's like, well, now it's a vase. Wonderful, right? But it wasn't supposed to be, right? Yeah, artistic license, right? You're supposed to make this, and you're, well, we'll make this now. Right? And you're bummed out and whatever. But you're trying to make this thing, and so you're all the techniques, you're shaping it, you're getting your indents. I'm not even pretend like I know. I've just seen it, right? Because in high school, they did art. I just took another weight class. Like, give me another one more weight class, right? It was just like, right? Well, look at my thing. Wonderful. That's great. You know, the breakfast bowl, whatever it is. What's that? Not like this. Not like this, all right? You're shaping that thing. And it's marred. Well, right? The melancholy temperament, you know what they're doing with it, right? Scrap that thing. I'm starting up. Because it has to be perfect, right? Absolutely perfect. You know what? Let me work with this thing. You think you're going to live a perfect life? Think again, right? You let God work on you, okay?
Bible says the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make.
You know what? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make this. But it's all the design of the potter. Right? Say, boy, I really wouldn't choose that for my life. You know what? But the potter does. He's trying to make you into something. He's trying to make you into a vessel that is good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, okay, because that's why he went to the potter's house. Remember, God told him to go. He watched this happen. And then God says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Let me work on you. Let me work on you. Well, they got hard hearts, people, right? Stiff-necked, uncircumcised. Stephen called them out there in Acts. I mean, he had all kinds of names for them, right? Basically, hard clay. Because you get done with it, right? You dry it out, and you stick it in that kiln, and it gets cooked, and then it's set, and that's what it is. Glaze it and do all the painting and all the finishing and whatever that goes on, okay? And it's done. That's it. Set. It's hard. You don't grab that piece. I mean, if you were to take a finished piece and somebody said, all right, we're doing a challenge, you have to remake something with that finished piece in a different shape. You know what you'd have to do? You have to grind it to powder to start over again. And then it wouldn't have the same consistency as it had before. I mean, you got to completely destroy it. And God said, I don't want to do that. I just want to work on you. I just want to work on you and to shape you back to Romans 9, and we'll finish tonight. The question that Paul asks here, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it? Right? I mean, even that's in question today. You formed yourself. You just showed up. No, God made you. Thank you. Right? All glory to God. No glory to man. God didn't man. Man didn't make man. Bible says we're of his image. We're the sheep of his pasture. It is he that hath made us. Not we ourselves. He knows. He knows, man. A simple shepherd understood that. How come we can't understand that? Why hast thou made me thus? That's a question. And a lot of people, they struggle. They struggle with how God made them. Now, your physical appearance, and you don't like it. You don't care for it. God made you that way. God made you a vessel. He made you specifically for a purpose. I will be guilty when I get to heaven of teasing short people. I just will. It's just like, get over it. Tall people will make fun of short people till, I mean, I don't know. It's like a gene thing, you know what I'm saying? Misty, we will never make fun. I mean, I got an aunt that I love her death. I call her short aunt. I've called her short aunt for years, right? That used to be the marker of height, and now it's like, oh, that ain't bad. You're going to be taller than her when you're born. You know, all that. You're going to be tall. It's just short. Hey, special purpose. We have this kid on the team, and he's a junior this year, and I was telling him, like, dude, are you ever going to grow?
It's like guys grab you and they throw you like you're a doll. I mean, it's just painful to watch, you know. It's like you disappear. I said, one nice thing, when you go through the line, you always get face masks because you're everybody's belt height, right? So they'll reach for them. It's like, as long as your neck don't break, I mean, it's like, you're good for an extra 15 or like every other run because everybody's like, you know, and he's doing this. He's looking at knees, you know. Short. That doesn't mean God doesn't have a purpose for you. Help us. I don't like how I'm, I don't know. I just look plain. I just look, God made you. God wasn't like, well, that's what's left there. No. Even the people that come out that don't last long in life, hydrocephaly patients, I mean, they die as soon as they're born. Their brain doesn't, their skull doesn't complete. And when they come out, they crush and they die. You say, how cruel is that? God didn't make no mistakes. He made none. That's hard to say. And if you get stuck in the whys and stuff like that, you won't go on very soon. But you just say, praise God, and you move on. And you move on. That was our child. You move on. Say, well, God, you know, he just... No. Don't do that. As a potter and a master potter at that and a great physician at that. You never want to get to this place and say, why hast thou made me thus? Why did you make me this way? And get angry. And then what do you get? That disease of the soul, right? You get that bitterness. And you're angry. This is what God did. God's saying, I just want you to love me and serve me how you are. Because that's the beauty of all the other, on the other side, when people accept, they say, you know what, God made me this. I'm going to bring glory to God how I am now. And everybody's like, man, that's amazing. Look at a testimony about, why? Because they accepted that. They accepted how God made them to be. Hath not the potter power over the clay? We'd hope so, right? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Let God work. Let him work. Let him do what he wants to do with you. Let him do what he wants to do with your kids and your grandkids. You just let him work. It's fun to watch too, what people are going to become. All the little people are going to become big people one of these days, right? And you just want to help them. You want to do all those things, but God is working on them. You can see influences in people's lives, big time. I mean, we talked about this morning with the salmon, with the imprinting. It's so big. How many of you can smell, you can smell certain things and it takes you back down memory lane of some certain thing just with the smell of something. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. I smell sagebrush, man. I go to Eastern Washington, I'm on a pheasant hunt, I'm like little kid. It's just the smell of sage. It just puts me there. First time I ever smelled it, and that's what I was doing, and it's just boom, it's there, right? And so as we're growing, as we're teaching, as we're helping, okay, God is shaping and doing things. We want to help our young people. We want to help them imprint to good things. That church is a good thing. That God is a loving God. God's not got a stick trying to whack us, and God's not trying to set us up to hurt us. God's here to help us. God's here to shape us. And that includes good things happening in our lives and not so good things happening in our lives. And they need to learn that when they're young. And to be like Pharaoh and be like, man, who is Pharaoh's parents, right? All right, who are they? We got to talk to them, right? What'd you tell him when he was a kid? Man, I was mean. He was ornery. Because you think about the decisions he made, they affect a lot of people. A lot of people died that night that death angel came. But people had no choice in the matter, right? They're just wishing, like, Pharaoh, do the right thing. And they're praying for their political leader. And they're, do the right thing. Nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. I won't be embarrassed by a Jew, no how. Won't happen. A lot of people died. The potter. Let him work. We're not going to finish the last verses tonight. We're going to stop there, okay? Questions. Okay, take this one home tonight. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Okay, you think, well, I make the choices for me. You don't want to do that. We don't sit high enough. We can't see all things. We don't know enough. We can't see it far enough back. We can't see it far enough forward. How are you going to make a decision that's going to affect years in your life? How are you going to make a decision that's going to affect other people and you're not going to have God in on it? You're nuts. I'm nuts if I do that, right? We need to let the potter work. Let's stand tonight and we'll sing our invitation song. Oh, to be like thee, page 320. Tonight, you've never thanked God for how He's made you, okay? And it's a tough world, especially for young people. We get around other people. Why do you like this? Why do you got that? Why do you look like that? Why are you asking me these questions? Right? I don't know. I've never thought about it until you said something. And they come home, they're hurt, and they're this and they're that. And it's like, look, that's the way God made you. That's the truth. God made you like that. God's got something special for you. Well, two-bit classmates might not see it that way, right? And we don't put stock in that stuff. We want to trust what the Lord has to say. Just help them along and say, it's okay. You'll be all right. Let's sing tonight. 320, oh, to be like thee.